Welcome to the VoiceOver Gurus Podcast.
This is Dave Johnston, and this is my VO journey.
Welcome back to another episode of the VoiceOver Gurus Podcast. Very special one today because we are revisiting our VO journeys. And these are folks that have started out recently. And we dive a little bit into their history, what got them to this point, and it's all sorts of interesting stuff. So today, you're actually a longtime student at this point, Dave.
Yeah, it's going on 3.5 years now.
Yeah, Dave Johnston, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, where are you located?
I say Des Moines. I'm about 60 miles south of Des Moines, which is Manson. They go, Manson? Like Charles Manson? No, Manson, Iowa. And so I just say Des Moines. So there we go.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. And now you had some serious cold weather recently. Oh, my God, the pictures you were showing
us. Oh, my gosh. We're talking about 50 below zero wind chill temperatures. And when you have to go outside, obviously, they say, don't go outside. Who would? But I had to go outside to clear some pipes, and it was 45. I clocked it 45 below zero.
Oh, my gosh.
I was out there in about 4 or 5 minutes, and I couldn't move. It was time to go back to the porch. So
Wow.
And it happens because there's no boundaries here. There's no fences. It's just that wind just comes sweeping through the plains there, and there's nothing to stop it. And it goes right through you. And it was just bitter yeah. this for about 3 weeks. And now it's like 60s tomorrow.
But it's Iowa. This must have been, it's probably a pretty good place to have an audio booth because there's not much sound outside, right?
Exactly. The way my studio set in the corner of the house, they say, well, put it in the interior because then you have an outer wall or whatever. Mine's perfect because I just really don't have the noise factor.
That's wonderful. And a beautiful house, mm-hmm. too. So
thank you.
I want to hear all about how you got started because you've got an interesting background, a lot of which I didn't know about until you told me like a couple of years ago. But yeah, please share for everybody. How did you get started?
Well, I have to really rewind the clock way, way back to when I was actually 8 years old. Right? Mm. This is like, we all have long time stories. But I got fascinated with the human voice, and this was really weird, but I'm going to say it. My parents were dairy farmers, and so I used to sing when the milk tank was empty. I would step up to the ladder, sing into that big galvanized tank, and just listen to the voice reverberate.
Wow.
And it still gives me goosebumps today because I would do my singing lessons with the milk tank lid up and just hear the different tones. And so I go, wow, you know, I got fascinated with the human, you know, I just got fascinated with it. And so from there on, you know, went into elementary and then didn't get involved into singing until I was in high school. Again, part of the human voice, just loved the singing voices, the choirs, and all the voices blending together. And I thought, I want to do that, you know?
Wow.
And so I took on a voice coach for vocal performance. And
this is when you were in high school?
When I was in high school.
Okay.
Then I went into a junior college program and studied vocal performance. Opera. Oh, my God. I want to do opera.
Wow.
That's where I was. And I'm going, oh, my. So then came the arias. Then came the breathing exercises. Then came. So I came into voiceover with kind of a well-crafted diaphragm.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
You know, which helped a lot. Mm-hmm. That being said, though, I got lazy and started just not doing good breathing habits. And I'd come to the end of the script, the 30-second script, and go, what? You know, breathing's good, but not that many, you know.
Wow.
And just catch yourself breathing. And that being said, I started working out vocally again. I can't say enough about that because it's like when it comes to audio, you know, I use Adobe Audition. And because of that trained diaphragm, I don't have to do a lot of breathing deleting.
That's interesting.
You know, because of the muscle is there. I don't always, but when I use it, I find out, wow, I don't have to delete so many breaths so much.
So how do you train for that? Like on your own now, when you're saying that you kind of, you know, work on it again to get that muscle going, what do you do?
Basically, I'll lay down and have Leo or someone put a stack of books on me to where I can't barely lift them with my stomach.
Oh, my goodness, a stack of them. Because, see, I always talk about putting one on there, but you're talking a stack.
Well, and when I started this exercise, you know, I lived in California, and we had the Los Angeles Directory, okay? Big, okay? So it had two or three of them, and I would just watch my diaphragm move that, move that phone book up,
Wow.
down, like up,
So
down,
just
up, down.
breathing, or would you sing while you're
Just
laying
breathing.
down?
Like when I inhale,
Mm-hmm.
it brings the book up, and when I exhale, it brings the book down. You're breathing out, you're bringing the book down. When you breathe in, you're bringing the book up. So it's kind of like you're kind of this wave effect, and that
Yeah.
really strengthens the, wow.
Wow, that's
So
yeah.
that's a that that stuck with me. And then after that point, I said, I'm going to take some voice acting lessons. And so this was in college, and I lived in Studio City, or fairly close. And I found this woman in the paper. I didn't know who she was, but come to find out, she's a legend,
Oh, really?
Louise Chamis. And I knew some of her backstory, but very eclectic woman. And I went into her home. And this again, this is in the 90s, okay? I step into her home. She's about 5'6", and she introduces herself. And this is back in 90. I can never will forget this. It was a spot for Peter Pan peanut butter. She sets the script up there, and she just goes, "Okay, give me a read." And that's just the way she said it. And she was, it was like, and she said it with so much life and so much smile and so much energy. And then I did a little bit of it, and she goes, "Did you bring somebody with you?" And
Oh.
I'm, "No." And she goes, "Well, I heard an announcer in there, so send him back by taxi cab." And I'm going, "What?" And this was all new to me, okay?
Yeah.
Voice, this whole thing. And she goes, "Even back then, they were telling the announcer to go home."
Wow. It started
And I
early
could,
on.
I know, right? And I'm thinking, and fast forward, studying voice and taking voice, different voice sessions together. I looked for different opportunities to use my voice, community theater. I actually answered an ad for being a gunfighter. That was one of my best jobs ever, being a gunfighter in an old West town.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Because there was an audition in the paper, and you have to understand, Canyon City, Colorado, there's nothing there except a big prison, okay,
Okay.
and an amusement park next to the Royal Gorge. So you got really really interesting industry going on there, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like I saw the ad in the paper, and I'm going, you know what? And this is before I did some actual plays. No, I did a couple of stage plays. But anyway, I said I could do this, and so I drove off to Canyon City, went out to this old West town, and I got it. I was in my car, and I saw this beautiful town. I go, and the first thing I thought of, what in the heck am I doing? And the other voice said, "You're taking a risk." So I said, "Okay." So I got into the old West town, got the audition, and she goes, "We got a stunt guy that's going to help you work with the stunts. You know about horses and stuff." And she goes, "But that voice is perfect for our town." And so that's what got me started. I thought, wow, they found something interesting there. And she goes, "Here's scripts and here's this and that, but I want you're in the shows because you do have the acting, you have the look or different things going on." But she goes, "I really want you to start with announcing the shows too."
Oh, how
So
cool.
I announced the shows. So I was able to go into gunfighter Blake Russell character, and then I was the announcer. Then I would bounce back into the character in the gunfighter. And so it was a great journey. I will never forget it,
That's
ever.
amazing.
And what people are drawn to, busloads of Amish people, the Amish and the Germans love cowboys. The
Really?
Chinese would come out by the busloads. They'd love, and we had this big gunfighter poster, and we'd sign it, and the Chinese loved us. And so that was a fun time.
Wow, that is
I
so
thought, well,
unique.
that was a unique adventure. And I thought, well, I'm glad I took that risk. And then I moved off from there, went on to Colorado Springs. And then just that's where I got into more radio. And but then I had this luxury of having a second studio. In other words, I would go in there, and you know what that's like. You'd go in there and just play what you want, do your music beds, and just play around. And so I did that for like almost 2 years. And so I got quite an ear for laying down music beds to go with commercials, or you train your ear a certain way to lay down. So I kind of took on that trade too. So,
And you just because you enjoyed it?
yes, I enjoyed it. I was only on the air, I was overnight air personality. So I did, I was, my demographics were lonely housewives at 2 in the morning. Okay. It's like, But anyway, it's like I was on there and it was basically a sponsored radio test. It did have commercial sponsors, of course, but I would either be recording broadcast or I would be recording commercials or PSAs or something like that. But then an earthquake happened at 4:30 in the morning. Okay. Radio stations placed at 14 stories high. It's on the top floor. Okay.
Wow.
The monitors start swinging in the radio station. And at that time, they had put stabilizers at the bottom of the tower. So you could, when the earthquake started, I go, And you could hear the stabilizers moving on the bottom floor.
Oh my God.
And I look out, and sure enough, it was just all the lights went out, and I'm above the 101 freeway.
This is Colorado like Springs, right?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. I went back way too far. Sorry. Wind up, wind
Let's
up.
Let's wind back.
Sorry, back up. Call your travel agent. No, but that was in California when I was the radio. That was just a personal experience I had.
Oh, we
went off
okay.
the air, off, war zone kind of thing. But then when I got to Colorado, I went back into radio. Several years has passed, and then I went into radio and did. That's when I started doing a lot more voiceover production, where it was a lot more modern, you know, because in California, I was still doing the dice and splice thing on the reel-to-reel,
oh,
you know.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And so, and I never caught on. I thought, oh, this Adobe audition is going to be a piece of cake, because I used to do it the old-fashioned. It's not a piece of cake. I mean, it's a learning curve.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like... And it's like, and Pro Tools, God bless them. That's kind of way over the top, but it's a great program. But anyway, you learn all this stuff as you go along. And so, again, I guess that's it as far as my journey. I'm always looking as taking classes, coaches.
Right.
I know, like 4 years ago, I ran across you guys. I was listening to a podcast, actually called The Queen Bee, which is Kay Bass. And she talks about women in voiceover. And I was listening. The reason I was listening to this is because she had a couple of speakers on there that I like, Tracy and a couple of other people that I know. And I thought, wow, this is great. She's doing this women in voiceover podcast. And then I started listening to more and more podcasts. Then I came across yours and I go, oh, wow, this is interesting. You know, real, raw, and relevant. Yeah. They all say that, you know, wonder what this is about, you know. But it's true. I mean, you just groomed all, you know. Yeah. I've been with you for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of these guys that are going to broadcast about all my jobs. I'm just not the guy that's going to do that.
Yeah.
I give a lot of accolades to those voice talent that's in our group that really shine and are ablaze with their passion for voiceover and to get these great gigs. But I've always come from the place of, you know, and they're not desperate. No, I don't feel anyone in our group is like desperate.
No.
They don't have a mentality like, oh, I hope I get it. I hope I get it. Every one of us, me included, work hard. We know the discipline of we know the discipline that you push towards us, move us toward to be the best that we can be accountable. I can't say enough about that. I've just listened to the last podcast that had Troy, what I call the King's Man. You had four guys on there.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, oh. Right. My mind went to Humpty Dumpty because I thought, here I am on the wall, full-time job, trying to balance all this crud. And I feel like I'm falling off the wall sometimes. And I listen to these guys and I'm going, wow, you know, they've been down that road too.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Which is why it's so important that we share it, you know?
Yes. And I go, when you have that point of connection, it's powerful. It's like, you know, Tom Deere, you know, I look at the accolades that I have that I can look up to. I'm sure you've heard of Art Brown. He's a comedic, a voice actor, been around quite a while. But I say, there's a lot of stuff. And he goes, if you're going to stand, he's funny. He goes, if you're going to stand on a giant's shoulders, at least wash your socks. Oh, interesting. Because we as voice talents walk in a lot of giants.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're accountable still. I'm excited because in March, I think I'm going to take a one-on-one course with Alice. Alyssa.
With Alyssa? Oh, nice.
Alyssa, never have done that. And I'm thinking.
Oh, you haven't?
No, oh. I have not had a one-on-one with her. So I'm going to do that in March.
Great.
And I'm thinking just another way of peeling the onion back.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great, as you know.
She's good, yeah.
Going to give you that different perspective. Now, Dave, didn't you spend some time traveling the country for a job? Did you do that too?
Actually, it was a singing tour.
Okay.
Uh, It was a musical that I traveled with, and it started. I had saw a concert in Southern California, and I saw them perform. I go, I'll do that. You know, I'm free. And so I took a year and a half of my life and went on the bus and did a road. I wish I would have wrote a book called The American Home.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's where we stayed, in American homes, and it was fabulous.
What is American home?
What is that?
What do you mean? You stayed where?
Oh, we stayed in host homes. And
oh,
so
actual American homes. Okay.
Yeah,
I thought
I'm sorry,
it was like
yeah.
a chain of hotels or something.
Yeah, really? That sounds like it. American homes, yeah. Rate $69.95. Okay, yeah. But it's like we stayed in all these homes. And in the fall, we were in the beautiful part of the country.
Mm.
In the summer, we were in the West Coast near the beach. And it was just an amazing thing. Like I said, I wish I would have wrote a book. You learn a lot about people.
Yeah.
Traveling. One of my voice coaches said a long time ago, said, go to the public library or go to a public place and just sit there and watch people and listen to their voices. And then I heard your story. When you travel sometimes, or you'll hear someone with a Southern voice, I think you were talking about someone that was, and you took on that persona, and it's because you heard a voice. I can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you took that on, and I thought, how interesting.
We're natural mimics. Most of us are natural mimics, and that really helps as
right.
a voice talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But wow, you've had some amazing, I mean, you've done a lot of living.
Yeah, a lot of living in my 66. I'll be, 67 in June.
But you've, yeah. like you said before, you've taken chances. You have gone for stuff. You didn't sit back. You know what I mean? You tried things.
Right. Right. Things that I just would go out of my, and I thought, now I need to transfer that over into my marketing skills because I was a telemarketer. I also was a hotel switchboard operator for 5 years.
Oh, really? Wow.
Okay. So I got the impression, you know what? I'm going to be the first voice they hear. That welcomes them to the Sheraton, okay?
Okay.
Thank you for calling the Sheraton. And then, and those four words alone, I've captivated them.
Wow.
And I thought about that job, and now that I've had coaching, and, you know, I'm accountable to you and a few others, I'm thinking a lot of my jobs always catered to the use of my voice.
Hmm.
Or it seemed like I was looking for that way to always use the voice. And my last adventure is when I did Scream in the Dark with a college group where you just dress up for Halloween and work in a haunted factory for 4 nights.
Yes.
And they have a box of green apples there, you know, that so you can eat that before takes, you know, so you're not wearing your voice out. But that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But who thinks to do that, you know?
Right.
It's, you know, all of us, you know, some of us, most of us do, but I took that risk, you know, just things like that. I thought, okay, you need to take some risk in marketing now, you know.
But you know what? All of those life lessons and the things that you've done, Dave, have really contributed, because your natural read, you're very good at weaving that story. You have a very good storyteller tone, and very natural. And when we give you scripts in our workouts, I mean, it's like you connect to it in a way that no one else does. And I know everyone is unique. But your interpretation of a script is never one that I would be like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's totally predictable. It's not predictable. It's because it's like all of your years of experience and all the different things that you've done, you bring to your reads.
Well, thank you for that. Because I think the thing of it is the instruction that I receive is I'm so grateful that if I go out and seek proper instruction, there's so much people teaching this voice stuff anymore.
Yes.
It's just out of control. But long story, if you just keep that tunnel narrow with a few voice coaches, few people that keep you fine tuned, then I get excited because I start hearing my own growth.
Mm-hmm.
I start hearing my own thing. And it's, weren't you somewhere in Europe, somewhere where you first heard yourself over the air, or you heard something? Were you in Switzerland or somewhere? I thought you were somewhere and you heard yourself for the first time.
No, I mean,
Where were you when you heard yourself for the first time?
Well, it depends. I mean, I worked in radio for a while, so I was doing stuff there. But
oh, yeah, right.
I don't really remember the first time I actually heard myself on something. Went to Europe a lot, but I don't think I've ever heard myself over there.
Oh, okay.
So what do you think is the most difficult part of becoming a voice actor? Do you think it's the marketing?
I think it's as Tom Deere would say, is developing the business acumen and the habits it takes, building the systems that it takes to be a productive voice person and a productive and making money, you know. Because right now the dilemma too is that my business expenses are about, I'm just being transparent, $300 to $400 a month without no money coming in.
Okay.
Okay. And when I talk to various people, they say, well, that's about average. And then I talk to a voice talent and they go, I'm not going to get Source Connect until I get the job. I go, well, it's a little too late then. I put all the tools in place. I pay for Source Connect. I probably haven't used it in about 3 months. Okay. But it's there when I need it, you know? That's the whole idea. And I talk to several people and they go, well, I just don't have, I can't afford that. I totally get it. But you really can't afford pass up a client either. Or, oh, I don't, you know, don't work with Dave. He's a nice guy, but he doesn't have the tools, you know? And so that's the deal. You guys have kind of taught me too, is to be patient. I remember when I made the demo, I thought, well, gosh, it's, you know, we're these months in. I'm going, they know what's going on. And they have the ear for when that demo's ready. Boom, you know? And it all just came together, you know? All the timing that came together, being patient. And the challenging thing is too, I do have a full-time job. Okay. And it, dividing that time like a piece of pie, I'm a cook. I'm gonna put everything into food. Okay. I have to divide all those slices up, even social media. I think, you know what, if I'm gonna be accountable to a group, two or three, that's it. I can't do it anymore. I don't want to be accountable to like the voiceover gurus, and then you guys don't hear from me in 6 months. And no one's ever pressured to reply or to put anything on our post. It's just that if you're going to be a part of it, then be a part of it.
You
And
commit.
that's what I'm trying to do. It's like, you know, full-time job, this, that. But if I want to post something, it's going to be something of value.
That's great.
You know, you guys could care less about the butter in my refrigerator. You know, it's like, unless it's parquet and it's made me $100,000 on that ad. But no. So yeah, that's the hardest thing is balancing. And I think being accountable helps me to be balanced because I follow people like Mark Scott, who's the top tier of marketing, or I follow these people that are, you know, I say these people, these friends, colleagues that help me in all these areas. And then I listened to these four guys on our podcast yesterday. You know, and I work on a job to where I have the luxury of cooking and doing all this stuff and then listening to all this at the same time, you
That's
know.
great.
And I was hearing Troy, and I know his backstory quite a bit. And I'm thinking, here's this Southern voice of a genre that he's another gentleman that took a risk. You know, a big risk. He did not go into the stereotype, your market, your voice is only for this market. So I honor him for that. He took a risk. And all these gentlemen, I look at their background and their stories and the jobs they're getting, and it's all tenacity and passion. I mean, it's
It
like,
really is.
so.
Do you find that because you have that full-time job, you know, like you're saying, there's different pieces of the pie that you have to divvy up every day, you find that that is just taking, you know, it makes it longer, a longer process to try to get the marketing done and to get those auditions out?
I think it's once I have written this out and I've got a template, well, then it becomes automatic habit. And because what happens is I learn to do this every day. In other words, I don't break the habit. I'll try like LinkedIn. Okay, I'm going to do LinkedIn marketing today for an hour. Now this is around a full-time job. Turn your oven down, go to your office, boom, that kind of thing. Okay, and so I'll do LinkedIn for an hour and no more. But then it's precise marketing on LinkedIn. What am I looking for? Who am I marketing to on LinkedIn? And that whole hour is just that way. And then I'll go maybe, and it's only 3 hours a day while I'm doing this. And hopefully making 20 contacts a day, either through email, follow-up, or just sending my website out or whatever. And so that way, if I stay intact and write that down, that's a piece of the pie, then it becomes a habit. I literally take on an atomic habit. Like James Clear talks about, you just take on that habit and you just do it.
That's great.
Screw resistance and bite it in the butt. It's like that's the biggest thing we fight, I think, as talent and as artists, is resistance. I think that's we resist. I don't know.
Well, we resist anyway, within ourselves, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm touché for you for having the compartment of the mental aspect of what we do.
Yeah.
Having a healthy mind.
Yeah.
You know, I thank God we spend half our time in a padded cell.
I know.
You know, like, we might as well, you know, we deal with some of that issues, and some of us are not wired for that. Some of us are.
Right, exactly. I know we're trying to get off the ground a mental health workout because we have that fantastic psychotherapist, Anna Hindell.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably looking at the end of March doing it, but it's going to be a very casual, laid back thing because, you know, this, it shouldn't be intimidating. It's more about finding out some techniques and tools that can help you in the booth to get you through pressure situations, anxiety, you know, things like that. So I just feel like it's so important, but it is kind of tough to approach because some people look at it and go, oh my God, you're going to put me on a couch and examine me. And it's like, no, that's not it. It's just more learning some techniques.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes us all kind of real together as the voiceover gurus, is we talk about these things that they're not pushed under a rug or,
right.
And we deal with the losses and And it's just not, it doesn't have to be a Debbie Downer journey. It's just a part of our journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of nice that we can all come together and share the victories, the defeats.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I wanted to say for the best reads, because you've provided an audition platform, a practicing auditioning platform. When every time you throw a script up there, here's the best read. It's like throwing an audition notice out there.
Yeah, that's turned out to be a pretty good thing for everybody. Everybody seems to be happy with it. We do it in the Circle community, for those of you that don't know. But we have our Circle community, which is free to join. And every Monday I post a script up there. And you can audition or not. It's not a real job, obviously. It's just, for fun. But everyone posts their audition, and then you vote on your comrades of who you think did it the best. And it's just kind of cool because you're getting a little bit of feedback. Not that I'm coaching you online, but, you know, by having that support of the other folks that are also doing it, I think really means a lot. And people are connecting that way, too.
I think just the tool of listening to one another.
Yes.
You know, I'll hit their play button and I'll hear how they're interpreting the script, and you can learn so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's really cool. So it's touche for that one.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So, okay, we know the difficulties. So I know you said you had, didn't you get a client a while back that's overseas or something, someone you work for?
Yes, in France. Mm-hmm. I hear from once a quarter doing it. I do jobs for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of an oddity because their business acumen is different than ours. Their whole approach to business. And it's interesting. You got to almost learn, if you're going to market to Europe, you got to learn their business tactics.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than ours, especially France. I'm not sure what's up there, but love France and they're good people. But it's like, this is just an oddity. Out of the blue, they'll send me a job, but they'll ask certain specifics that the client should already know.
Mm-hmm.
A talent should never be in the position to where they have to answer questions that the client should already know.
Right.
I mean, that's not a good way to start the relationship off. It's like, and that's happened before too.
Mm-hmm.
But, I got it resolved because it was just a miscommunication of error on her part.
Mm-hmm.
But she was actually talking to the wrong talent. Now that to me is a big boo-boo.
Mm.
I mean, this really had to do with another talent. Didn't have nothing to do with me. She just sent it to me by mistake.
Oh.
And I'm going, okay. Hope the cracks don't get too much bigger there in that place.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
That was kind of interesting. But anyway, things happen, you know. But we have to have our acumen together all the time.
Right.
I remember some time ago it's been a while ago. And when I was part of the membership, voiceover membership, when you listen to the podcast and stuff and you had done the workflow video.
The masterclass membership, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the masterclass workflow was one of the most impressive and the most time cutter things. And so I encourage you to do something like that again, too. That was excellent.
Yeah, that's a course in the masterclass membership. And there's a downloadable PDF and a graphic that I created that basically just spells out my process of auditioning and what I do and how I, as far as organizational workflow goes, you know, what I do, what folders I set up. And it's an organizational tool that that has worked for me for a lot of years, you know, and I'm always, you know, I like to share it in case it's going to help you too. But yeah, if you join the masterclass membership, you can see that very easily. Masterclass membership. You were a member way back
when,
but now
yes.
Masterclass membership offers a half-hour mentor session with one of the coaches, which
exactly.
we weren't given before.
It's going to bite the bullet on that one, yes, because then you get that opportunity, which is well worth the value. Yes,
let me tell you, the beginning of the month, people book their their half hours because you can work on anything you want. You know, you can work on a, you know, have us listen to a demo. We can go through a performance, you know.
That's perfect. I'm jumping on board in that in March for sure.
Because and think about it too. I'm doing my big pitch here. You know, $49 a month that you can cancel any time. You can then get discounts for the workouts and any coaching, you know, too.
Well, but the chances of that one fee of $49 is going to be very great. And you're going to have the rest of the month, you know. So it's like, perfect.
So do you have a dream client that you would love to book, Dave?
It would actually be a producer on the History Channel.
Oh, cool.
He does. I've sent him some stuff, actually. When I say he's not a main producer for the History Channel, but he's like a subsidiary.
Mm-hmm.
And he has people. He knows people. And he liked several of my reads, like Facing the Tide documentary. He says you just have a very... he just said you have a very inviting and captivating or something of that.
Yeah, I find it with a lot of warmth. Mm-hmm.
And so he says we'd like, that's the guy I'd like to work with. So I keep biting the bullet on that. So.
You can. You but keep so, contacting him.
Yes, exactly. But I wanted to share something from Paul Strickwerda, which I have a whole lot of respect for.
Yeah, he's
and
great.
And this one paragraph has carried me through some very... very difficult times, and Paul himself suffered, I believe, a stroke in his own studio.
Yeah, he did.
Long time, you know, and a lot of us have been afflicted with such tragedy, you know. And, but he says here, he says, I firmly believe that we're not helpless leaves in the wind. I believe that we can harness the power of the wind and adjust ourselves by the virtue of the choices we make.
Yep, amen to that.
So, I'm glad I made some right choices.
So, well, all your experiences
today,
all of your experiences are great that you're sharing them because it's just so interesting to hear people's history and what motivated you and what brought you to the place that you're at right now, too. So always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Dave.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. This was great. Great stuff to share.
Yeah, definitely.
Take care.
That wraps
keep
up
the
another.
Passion.
Yeah, keep the good fight going. That wraps up another episode, and this is of our VO journey, of Dave's VO journey, and we'll see you real soon. Thanks for listening.